Yeah.
All right. Hey, good afternoon.
Good evening.
This is Ryan.
And this is Benji. And that's a really awkward long introduction. And this is the first podcast.
Yes.
From Flashes of Mediocrity.
You see how we flashed at you mediocrely? That's it.
Oh, that was two flashes of mediocrity in a row. One was sustained, and one was super quick. So. Let's do this, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, right now, we came in thinking about the debates, but we got a little off topic trying to get the sound correct.
Yep. So, low budget means we take twice as long.
I say we give Benji, since he's the seasoned veteran comedian, you can catch him in the Salty Frog, various places around town. He's the hardest
trolley.
Working, non-working man you've ever met, probably.
I work really hard for free, folks. Somehow, I love it.
All right, Ben. So, why don't you talk about yourself for a second?
All right. Well, yeah, you pretty much said everything I do. That's it. I just like to talk and interact with people. You know, that's the joy of stuff. And then just interacting, you know, concepts and getting them more to reality while understanding other people is just really the joy of stuff. Not really billing for stuff. So there you go.
I think you shouldn't be so modest.
It's not modesty, it's just that shit's easier.
Well, I mean, we can bring Matt in. Matt,
what up, Matt?
The Salty Frog.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys.
And, both of us were immediately impressed.
Very impressed.
Just, dude, like, this is a guy that works his ass off. Comes in for little to no pay.
Sometimes.
Full sound equipment, fucking laptops, microphones. Lighting, color correction,
stripper poles, and
doing God knows what, setting up everything, and really busting his ass, really just trying to make a way, and also, you know, helping a lot of people out along the way, a lot of cool comedians who we'll have on here in a little bit, and all right, that was enough of the boring shit. So, you want to dive straight into the debate?
Yeah, which one were we going over? Because there was two tonight, right, sort of?
There was two tonight. We can go through the mayoral debate if you want, real quick.
We saw a little bit of that.
We only saw a little bit of that because the sound was shitty.
Yeah, we're trying to deal with the sound, but...
No, their sound was shitty as well.
And the video,
their sound was
like, we could have done a better job.
Yeah.
But it was all right. I was paying attention to how Carl DeMaio, is that his name?
Yeah, Carl DeMaio.
Okay, cool. I didn't say it wrong. Great. Yeah, he was like... he seemed like he has a very good memory, to say the least, you know? And he talks really well, you know. I just don't know if he can think on the spot, you know, because it didn't seem like he was reacting much. He was just going over stuff, like, you know, which is not bad, but, you know, we just want people to be on their feet, right?
Well, yeah, Filner actually had notes and was actually looking down at his notes, too, so they were both pretty lackluster. The only thing that really struck out to me, unfortunately, is I did not focus on any content just due to the poor production value. And the tone of the speech itself, just, it was boring, and no one explained anything, and the lighting was bad. So actually, no, fuck no anybody explaining anything, because I wasn't listening to that, so I sorry I got sidetracked there. I didn't listen to anything, because the lighting was horrible, the sound was horrible. It looked like it was shot in an elementary school. You could see two shadows for every little blue ruffle that was on the fake velvet behind them.
And then the sound, too. It was a little distracting.
Yeah.
Like you could hear the, you know, some of the echo and some of the high pitch. And
the whole thing coming fresh off the vice presidential debate seemed just incredibly Bush League.
Really,
amateur.
For being on not national, but, you know, local television.
But being on the main channel, I mean...
Yeah, you expect a little bit more. They're in HD. They're streaming that crap in HD. Everything we saw.
Yeah, the fact
horrible lighting, the horrible fucking everything. It was on HD, by the way, folks, if you want to catch that crash by detail.
You know, as a matter of fact, my daughter does news at her elementary school.
That's cool.
And, their production value is...
probably better than that.
It's super close. Their green screen cuts could be a little bit tighter, but their sound is better. and the edits are better, and the lighting's probably better. So yeah,
I started in middle school doing this, so that's really cool. If I would have started in elementary, I would probably be here still.
Yeah, you know what? She's gonna kill me.
But I've always loved it though. Like since I got the opportunity when I was in middle school, so that's cool. But we should probably refer them to the middle school or the high elementary so they can get the sound better.
Well, I want to embarrass my daughter a little bit while I'm here because, you know, maybe one day when I'm dead, she'll come back and listen to this.
That's the best part of all these, man.
Yeah, that's the best part of all these for sure. So she lost the vice presidential race this year.
Oh, her and her.
Just happened. She's in fourth grade. They only go to fifth grade at elementary school. It's like back to the 50s now, so middle school starts in sixth grade now.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know if it's weird or better, but it's definitely...
If it works, right?
I don't know. But so she was able to run for vice president this year. And she's just a really responsible, smart kid. She loves going to school. She loves reading. She actually... just wakes up early on time, sets her own alarm to go do stuff at school.
That's cool. Internal drive.
Yeah, internal drive that I never had.
See, I was going to say the same thing. I never had that internal drive. My little sister did. That's why she went to Harvard. Like, you know, when you're telling me about your daughter, and like it reminds me because my sister, that's what it was, you know? If it wasn't this, it was that. And me, not. I was like, maybe it was a guy thing, but.
I don't know. But
that's cool.
She's got it in spades. Nice. And so we kind of ran this whole campaign, and I made some posters for her, and she didn't want to use it at first because it was this picture of her, she was being kind of silly, and I really liked it.
Did you like it, though, as dad, or did you like it as a campaign advisor?
Oh, both.
Oh, okay. Because now you don't want to skew that
one. Oh, no.
In the end, she used it, though, you said in the beginning.
Yeah, in the end, she used it, and she gave a speech, and she gave an amazing speech. For a fourth grader, you know?
Yeah.
And she ended up losing, and gosh, she doesn't know this, so hopefully it's a while till she hears this, but she ended up losing the race by one vote.
Ow.
And the girl that won the race, and I like this girl and nothing against her, but this girl is 9 years old. She is... 10 times the skateboarder I am.
Oh.
Maybe 15. I mean, literally, she's 9 years old. I saw her at the last ASR trade show skating a 10-foot half pipe when she was 7, maybe at this time, 6 at this time.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. So when I tell people the story, they're like, oh, this little girl was lying and she was making stuff up. And I'm like, no, it's nothing against this little girl, but this is the connections this little girl has. So in this little girl's speech, apparently, she basically said, if I become vice president, I'll bring Tony Hawk to the school.
Oh, man.
And I'll bring skateboard ramps and I'll do a demo.
Oh, that sucks.
So,
yeah.
How do you compete with that?
You can.
And she honestly probably can get Tony Hawk to the school and probably get him to do a demo. So you can't even hate on her for saying it.
At least she'll follow through on like real politician.
Yeah. And my little girl was devastated. And it was funny because I was telling her mom, like,
dude, welcome to Bringer Shows, honey. Well, that's what Bringer Shows are, a comedy contest. Like, you, even if you're funny, right? Or even if you know, you get more laughs or you kill their friends, they're not going to vote for you. You're going to vote for your friend.
Yeah, they're going to vote for
it's heartbreaking.
Their
it's,
or,
that sucks.
Yeah, and I had this thing where I was talking to her mom and I was telling her, I was like, I want to tell her that, you know, it's okay. Because when you get older, you know, politics becomes a more like a meritocracy. And it's really what you've done that counts and not the stuff you promised in your speech. And then I was thinking, well, that's total bullshit. Like, if I told her that, that's a complete lie because it probably just gets worse from there.
Yeah.
There's probably no upside to that.
I was like, the fact that this little girl is going to follow through and bring Tony Hawk might totally screw all these little kids. They're going to expect people to do that. You know what I mean? They're going to expect politicians to be like, oh, yeah, well, he said he did. That little girl once did it. Why not? Well, maybe not to that extent, but, you know.
But I mean, but I was saying, like, you know, the lesson I wanted her to learn was that, like, or I wanted to tell her, oh, don't worry, like, as you get older, politics becomes more about actual stuff and not about a bunch of bullshit. But then I was like, wait, that's a total fucking lie. Like, as soon as I was thinking about it, I was like,
you were telling her where it's supposed to be, and then you're like, wait.
Well, I never said it to her because
that would have been funny.
It was bullshit.
Yeah.
But so anyway, she was devastated and, you know, had trouble going to school next day, still crying like the next day at school. And, but
she sounds like she was really invested into it all, right?
She was super invested in it, but the takeaway from that is now she's on the news squad.
Oh, that's cool.
So now she's going to be the reporter or something, you know, she's either going to be the anchor or the field reporter.
Dude, and already having this, that's so cool.
And that's what I'm like, dude, think about the reel you'll have. Like, think about,
oh yeah,
if you do it in high school, then you do it in college. Like, you come out of college and you're like, here, I have 15 years of experience behind
literally
the camera.
You can do that in accounts because you're doing it, you know, and people
you're doing it. And yeah. They're going to edit it. Like, they have to do everything at the school. It's
that's
awesome.
So cool, man. Fifth grade, I 10 years old, 9 years old, I know kids can learn a lot because I used to coach and I was ridiculous back then. I was like a freak, and I literally taught 10, 8, 9-year-olds like 60 playbooks, you know, and my insanity. Right now, I'm kind of like probably wouldn't do it because it's too much to add. But it was because these kids were running these plays and they were good. So, like, I guess it's always how you push it. But, you know, along with the technology nowadays, man, kids are so late, you know. Man, so that's cool, man. Having the access so young, it's that's great.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's okay to expect kids to do a lot of shit sometimes. Or maybe not in your head to expect mm-hmm. them to. But you can tell little light white lies to lead them to think that you expect them to.
Yeah.
Because kids can do a lot more shit than people think they can.
You know what it is? It's about
they
that
can
internal
retain
confidence
a lot more shit. I mean, I don't know if it's. I think it's been going on forever. But I mean, even just look at the fucking internet. Look at the stuff kids can do.
Yeah.
You see 1-year-old kids that can take an iPad, swipe it, get to Netflix, and turn on a movie.
My daughter started doing that when she was like 2.5 years old on her mom's iPhone, you know, so it was like not necessarily Netflix, but she was traveling through YouTube watching clips, you know, she's just typing like, oh, baby, you know, or she would let, and it's like, yeah, that's the thing me and you didn't have, you know what I mean? So already like their mind has been developed to learn or to use a certain way. So they're going to have like literally, you know, your daughter's 5 years, you know, fifth grade, you know. Dude, I was like in eighth grade when I started doing all that, and it was lucky, you know. Now,
yeah,
and it was like
super lucky,
you know, to just get in it because I had to get through my sister and stuff. And then the technology was, and now with everything, it's just, you know, if you know the theory I had with people, sometimes people and technology, we get lazy. We use technology not to advance, just to get lazy. But there are some people that use stuff to, you know, not just to make it easier for us to see. Okay, what else can we do as humans? You know, and that's the type of thing that, you know, when you start them off young, it's not more than just coasting. It's like, well, what else can we do? You know, they'll get bored of doing the same thing. They're gonna be innovative and come up with the newest styles and, you know, change the way we watch television, perhaps. And that's cool.
Yeah,
15 years of experience. Yeah, I've been watching this.
The kids are going to be crazy.
So when she, did it happen like right away or how did she?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of a buddy with a guy that runs it, but he would have picked her anyway. I mean, she's probably like the most well-composed, outgoing kid at that school. I mean, she's a pretty spectacular little kid. And that's not even like bragging. People just meet it like. I have to tell people all the time or remind myself all the time, she's around in a conversation and conversations will stray into areas that a 9-year-old should never hear a conversation stray. But it's just because the whole time before that, she's engaged in that conversation, talking to adults like eye to eye to the point where they forget that she's a 9-year-old girl. Like I was at a dinner party at my buddy's house a few weeks ago, you know, we had some friends from Australia and a bunch of us were standing around talking. My buddy Snarty started telling this story, and he got like halfway into the story, and he looks, and he's like, "Like you cannot be a part of this conversation. You know, you're a 9-year-old girl." And she's sitting there. Once the story starts going that direction, she stops participating. She shies into the corner, hoping no one's gonna notice her. That's Benji's cell phone. She's doing the exact same thing.
I know.
Trying to shy into a corner, hoping nobody's gonna notice it.
Hello?
Let's hear him take this call.
Hey, what's up?
Who are you talking to, Benji?
My friend Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa. This is the downside of trying to do this kind of shit.
Is it you, right? Because it's. Hey, what's up?
Vanessa's on a podcast right now.
Yes, she's kind of on a podcast.
Yeah, we can hear everything she says.
It's not true. Not everything.
He's whispering. I'm whispering.
But, ¿qué pasó?
All right. Is this going to take long? Should we?
No, it won't take too long. Can you call me back in like 10 minutes?
If she wants to say something interesting, put her on speakerphone. Let's talk to her. I'm into that.
Ah, qué pasó. Thank you. Bye.
I don't know if that was rude, but...
No, not at all rude. Like, this is the way it really does work. You know, like, we can't pretend that stuff doesn't happen around us. And that's what causes sometimes stress. And, you know, we are busy people. So, you know, it's all good.
No, I don't mind the phone ringing. I just didn't...
No, talking like, now? Yeah. What you were saying over it? No, okay. That's why. Come on, dude. I answer the phone. How could I not...
I don't want to be rude to the people.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's kind of the main thing, right?
That's absolutely right.
You need to fuck off with the phone, okay?
Yeah, I will. I will fuck off plenty before...
Because I don't know where my phone is, but I know the ringer's on full blast with the ring my daughter put on it. That'd be super annoying.
Well, we can get back on track. We'll chop through this too, by the way.
Actually, call me so people can hear that ring.
Okay, let's hear your ring, Tony. Yeah.
This is what happens when you leave your phone around your kids. I actually kind of like it.
I have a horrible service, so you might get like a heart, like this phone call tomorrow.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not hanging up until it's done, folks.
All right.
There you go.
So
that was the next
So one. I never would have thought that we'd spend the first 17 minutes of this podcast talking about kids.
Well, I kind of didn't know where we were going with it, but it is related to politics.
It certainly is, man. Well, we talked about her running for vice president.
Yeah, no, certainly. Different stress, I bet, right? The segue was that her technical team is better than Channel News 10's coverage of the debate.
Yeah.
That was our whole point.
And also, she'll probably be better behind the camera. And I was thinking about it.
But like, she's already taken pictures, right? So you have her taking pictures occasionally? They're already that mind's eye is being trained already, so.
Well, you look at Bob Filner, right? He's been a San Diego politician in various forms for, 26 years?
As long as I can remember.
24 years or something like that.
I'm 30, so as long as I can remember.
In a way, that becomes the guy that works at the oil change for, 14 years. Like, he kind of hangs it over your head. Like, I've been working here for 14 years, and you're kind of like, why?
Yeah, why didn't you look, right?
You don't want to work at the Toyota one and do, overcharge people another $20? And, I don't understand it. So then you look at Bob Filner and you look at the way he talks and presents himself on camera and you're like,
makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that's why you never made it to the show. You know? And I started looking at the whole thing, they have fucking field scouts or, there's a nickname for them, but scouts, major league scouts.
Yeah.
They have major league scouts
for politics?
For politicians.
Oh, shit. I did not know that.
They definitely have that.
You know what? It makes
sense.
They
look to see who's going to be good for the party. You know, we have somebody in this area that's a minority area. There's a ton of Latinos, and there's this up-and-coming guy. He's only half Mexican.
So I was going to get to that. This guy's partially Mexican, or did he find the right root?
Or he's Latin. A blue-eyed Puerto Rican, just a little bit of salsa in him. And if he's smart enough, look at fucking Palin.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all looks, mainly.
How did Palin exist at all?
I think a lot of it was a strategy when you were talking about that. It had to do with... maybe they thought America was stupider than it was, and they didn't expect Palin to be stupider than America. So it was like, had she been just a little bit smarter and learned how to shut the hell up, it would have, sometimes we hang ourselves when we talk.
I kind of think she's a fucking genius.
I don't think she is. She's got a lot of good traits that we cannot deny, you know what I mean? Some of them are fueled by other things, the fact she's so confident about some stuff and blah, blah, blah. It hasn't been because of no reason.
I don't think she's a political genius.
Okay, there you go.
At all.
Good.
But I think in the same way Kim Kardashian's a genius, she's a genius.
Why is Kim Kardashian a genius?
Because she makes $50 million a year.
But it's not genius because he wasn't 9 years old, and she's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. When I'm 19, I'm going to take it in the butt from RJ, and then I'm going to start a talk. It was genius would be her planning it out. She kind of just fucked herself into it.
But there's an absurd genius in being able to prolong that. How long has it been? Like, it used to be a flash in the pan. Kim Kardashian has been around for a long fucking time.
Yeah, she
can't. We're going on, I would say 5-6 years of the Kardashians.
Well, this, it's kind of, I mean, The Simpsons, well, not The Simpsons, other shows, most shows, 10 years, okay?
You know? Not most shows. Most shows, 6 months.
Okay, well, dude. Back in the day, right? Back in the day when the 90s, you know, like Seinfeld, 10 years, Friends, but
those
10 years.
The, but those were the crazy good shows.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. So, with Kardashian, and those were not reality shows. People are always going to be trying. I mean, that's the monster she's writing. It's necessarily not her genius.
No, because reality shows come and go, and I'm sure it's not her genius. It's fucking Ryan Seacrest, who's secretly the gay devil.
See, so it's not a genius. I mean, that's yeah.
But
I'm not here. I'm not here to disprove her. I'm here to just look at her pictures and enjoy.
In a way, she's a dumb genius, dude. She knows how to be in front of the camera. She knows how
to... Yeah, she knows that. Yeah, of course. She knows how to pose in front of the camera, look at the camera, right cars, talk the like, right voice in front of the camera. Because I'm pretty sure she doesn't talk this sweet all the time. You know, I'm sure sometimes she gets all bitchy and shit. But
I don't know.
Okay, so Ryan's just trying to say her genius is the fact of how many other chicks have been fucked in the ass by celebrities and have made it this far.
Yeah, that's,
there you go.
Yeah, that's make the a genius. Point.
Think about that.
Well, I mean, maybe not genius is the word, but, you know, maybe threading the black needle. No, I'm kidding. No, but no, really, like.
It's genius. A great ass, but if you put her on an island for 3 weeks, she would have the gnarliest fucking unibrow and or mustache you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, this is a girl that needs me.
And she's had a lot of plastic surgery and stuff. But one thing she probably does, I don't think she's the one that's making a lot of those decisions. Because remember, it's her and her sisters, you know, and they're all kind of doing the same kind of thing with the perfumes and whatever.
No, I bet behind the scenes she runs that family with a fucking iron glove.
You know what? I'm with an iron what?
Iron glove?
Oh, I thought you were going to say iron thong. I was like, yeah, that works.
Iron thong would have been better.
Iron thong, right?
That's why you're the comedian.
But that's why you're the guy with the politics.
That's right. So should we talk about the real debate?
Yeah, we should. Might as well. We're here. Biden and Ryan, right? You were the one that was sitting here watching. I got to see a lot of snippets.
Yeah, I was taking some notes and doing a little bit of watching. And I think the, you know, we don't want to get too political, I guess. I don't know. I guess fuck it, though. You know, the first thing of note is that it wasn't a runaway. I'm, you know, for just all honesty, all transparency, I am agnostic and I am a liberal-leaning independent, I would say. But I like guns. I have no problem with concealed carry. I'm all for gay marriage. I love the fucking gays. Have that, you know, gays are God's birth control thing I'm working on. I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's you know, it's I like everything you just said because it saves a lot of people a lot of time trying to guess that shit. So, yes.
Yeah, might as well disclaim that. But having said that, you know, Obama was the clear loser last time.
Okay.
Clear loser.
Oh, yeah, from last week.
And, you know, nobody can say that about this debate. There was not a runaway on either side. There was things that annoyed me on both sides. Well, the physical thing that I put on Facebook is that the bridge of Paul Ryan's nose comes to, like,
distracting.
A razor point. That you can almost picture him on one of those, like, funny mirrors, like, in college, like, cutting up blow with, like, his nose, like, Yale or something like that. Like,
that's the same thing I thought in my head. I just didn't want to say
it would just be so close for him, and, you know, they're, like, at these friends. It's just all, like, that's bored, rich, white guys, and
that's the prime Coke market. His glasses with it. Okay, so that was distracting to you. Was it, like a psychological turnoff, or, like, overall for his, you know,
kind of like the production value of the mayoral debate, it kind of took me out of it, which was kind of a bummer. Like, that's just kind of like it started creeping on me a little bit. But Biden, so I found myself being liberal leaning, you know, to be transparent again, I found myself like kind of considering myself Rocky's coach to Biden. So I was in the background trying to fucking tell him what to do, being the cut man in the corner. And that was a horrible boxing reference.
Well, it's a good movie reference.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Well, it's a decent movie reference. And But anyway, so I found myself like kind of thinking about stuff that I wanted him to do.
And so you expected him to do, or that you wanted him
no,
to do?
No, no, just coaching at the moment.
Right.
You know, so
kind of like when we watch regular sports or whatever.
Yeah, just like watching sports. So the one thing I noticed was that when Paul Ryan would, there was a couple times, there was probably three times where Paul Ryan started talking and he got himself down a track that he didn't want to be on. And he was starting to stumble and starting to step over himself.
I saw that.
And just starting to go in a direction that he didn't want it to go. And at that moment, Biden would throw a jab at him that he thought was a well-placed jab, but in a way it was just a lifeline because it gave Paul Ryan something to grab onto to talk about and get himself kind of back into the moment.
He was like trying to kick him when he was down, and instead he gave him something to float on.
Yeah, well, we had a good analogy earlier where, like, sometimes you got to let a guy gas himself out.
Give him an own rope to hang themselves and stuff.
That's probably even a better analogy. You know, he kind of should have let him go on a couple of those things. I do have a couple of notes. Ooh, ding, ding, ding. In the suit lapel pin category.
Oh, okay.
Which is a major suit discussion lapel point.
Yeah. There's probably like $50,000 of research going into that alone.
I've honestly seen so much bullshit on so many news networks about fucking lapel pins and whether or not people wear them or how they wear them. Paul Ryan's lapel pin had about 47% more real estate than
that
Joe Biden's
thing was massive.
Lapel pin. It was a massive.
It was massive.
Blingy. It even had a couple of accents.
It had something inside of it, but in the middle of it, you could see.
It's near the little stars with the springy thing so they can move.
So if we were to judge debates going on lapel pins, Paul Ryan would be the clear winner.
So he would be the guy in the lifted truck with the huge wheels lapel pin.
Yeah, oh, dude. That lapel pin had truck nuts.
yeah, there you go.
It had brass-plated truck nuts on.
And then it had the N-O-W-T sticker on it, right?
Oh, and then the other thing that I noticed, which I thought was really fucking interesting, and I don't know if it's because I've been shooting a lot of photos lately. Mm-hmm. If you watch, they did a lot of cut shots where they had the debatants, whatever. Side by side. You know, they had the split screen. Yeah, they had the split screen shot going. They had Paul Ryan on like a 2.8 to like 3.5 focal length, to where Paul Ryan was super crisp, and the words behind him, you couldn't see at all.
They're blurry.
The background? They were super blurry.
Okay.
Same guys sitting the same distance from the same background. Joe Biden is on a much wider aperture.
Right, and it like, captures everything, the depth of field.
You can see everything behind him. But he then is kind of in a more Vaseline lens thing. So I don't know if it was done
on purpose or...
it's definitely fucking done on purpose. But I just don't think there's any political motivation. I just think Paul Ryan is the better looking of the two candidates.
That's true. You don't want to put...
I mean, that's not a joke.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's somebody at the network... You know, saying,
oh, of course.
But if somebody goes back and watches a still, you'll see literally a dramatic difference between the backdrop and just the crispness and focal points on each candidate's face. It was pretty interesting.
I remember when I was studying some stuff related with that about, you know, the mind frame. They talked about not just the OJ picture, you know, how on some newspapers it was darker, sometimes it was brighter, but also when it came to Nixon. With one of his speeches or one of the debates, actually made his voice sound like more annoying or more, you know, to make it, you know, like less attractive or whatnot. So that's when you were saying that, like maybe that's something they're trying to work the back angle where, you know, maybe they're trying to make everything more visual with him. So it's more distracting as opposed to everything else is out of focus and Ryan is being looked at, you know. But what you said just makes sense too.
Tangent moment. No, that was a good tangent. But I think they were trying to be more flattering for each one. I think they were trying to play to the strengths of each
one. That's good. Because I can't say it all because I just saw clips, you know. And clips is always, you know, or highlights is, you know, it's not the real thing. You know, when you're doing it live, it's when you really see it. So,
but it was incredible. incredibly noticeable.
Yeah. You know, like at least technically, right?
Yeah, it was definitely dramatic. It caught my eye. Well, and obviously, I'm probably looking with a little closer eye than most, but...
Yeah, photographers, anybody visual, usually we tend to look at it the way like we would do it, you know what I mean? Or the way that we know is being done, or we notice it more than just people. That's why I think sometimes the whole concept of HD is 90% unnecessary unless you're watching something that you need the visual. Like right now, like Biden, you probably don't need to see his wrinkles, right?
Also, Paul Ryan looked really stoned.
Did he?
Yeah.
He now I like him. Shut up. You should have told me that in the beginning. I want to watch Paul Ryan get stoned.
Yeah, he looked high as a kite.
Nice. Well, maybe.
Well, hey, check this out. So, going down my notes in the middle of my little political notes, and we totally have gone at this backwards too, which is awesome. But Matt turned to me at one point. Matt, who's being silent over there, turned to me at one point and said,
"Yeah, he's still here, by the way.
Still here.
Can I name my kid Wolf?"
Oh yeah, we talked about Wolf.
So Matt wants to name his kid Wolf, and
why not? Well, like I told him,
it's a great name as well.
I know a dude that, you know, his last name is Wolf, and he goes, you know, just, "Hey, what up, Wolf?" So it's pretty cool. What I told him is, you just want to avoid any vampire werewolf references when he has a daughter. You know, you don't want to.
But going by your last name and being called Wolf is something you can shed.
Yeah, well, depending.
Like, if you want, like, to, if that guy works at an office, he probably doesn't go by Wolf. Like, his boss doesn't call him Wolf, is my guess. If he works in construction, his boss calls him Wolf.
Well, he's a vocalist, first of all, so maybe that's
yeah. Fucking everybody calls him Wolf.
Yeah.
And but then, does this vocalist have a real job, or is he a highly successful band?
He used to work in a co-op with me, so it was like he was a delivery driver / a bartender. So it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, can't really use that as an example.
So.
His nickname was Wolf. His first name was Brian.
It was probably Brian Wolf. No, it was like his
name
was
delivers,
Brian Smith.
That he delivers weed.
he
delivers weed, and he's in a rock band, and his name is Wolf.
Yeah.
Can we please interview this dude?
Hey, we need to. Oh, you know what? We're going to get Wolf in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wolf is cool, man. You can watch some right clips there on him on Nug Life Radio Show, Episode 2. He's the band Odyssey 9.
Yeah, let's do some plugs, man. Let's sound
Odyssey
legit.
9, you know, they're pretty badass, man. You can find that.
Well, talk about UpTV, dude. Talk about, you know.
UpTV, just, you know, check us out there. We're going to do a collection of local talent, being San Diego, and anybody else that wants to come in and bring in some... Preferably positive entertainment, you know, something not necessarily uplifting, but something progressive, something that isn't the same and baseless, because we have plenty of that already to get distracted by. At the very least, you might, I don't know, not necessarily learn something, but at least you're not going to have any demons, because we're going to make you think that being pretty is the best or anything stupid like that.
And I think in the future, we're going to have a lot of local talent on here.
Oh, yeah. That's the main idea why we'd want to do this. You know, a lot of reasons pull you in, that people know about, you know, what they're doing. Because, you know, people don't know they're good or they are, you know, unless they're famous nationally. But there's a lot of talent everywhere, you know, and in San Diego particularly. Many other reasons than just L.A., you know, the border. And then, you know, naval town, you know, so much talent here. You know, we just need to... You know, embrace it more than just, oh, hey, well, let's go to LA, you know, because that's where it happens, or New York or whatever. It's like, nah, you know what? Go to LA, go to New York, and whoever's down to kick it here and enjoy it, that's what we're going to do. That's really what Up Network is about.
Cool. Yeah, and as well as being an agnostic, liberal leaning independent, I'm also a bit of a comedy, like, fanatic, groupie, weirdness. I don't know what my fucking problem is.
It's a preface to a comic, you know, like, it means he wants to do comedy, and eventually I'll get him fed enough to go on stage, and he's going to get addicted, because he's not the only one.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you don't know about that, but I do.
That's a possibility. But anyway, I think, like, Benji's locked in, and it's been something that Justin and I did a little bit, and we like kind of getting into the comedy scene, and I think it's nice in a way, because comedy is, in a way, as big as it is, like as big as a big comedian is, you know, at one point in every given year, there's maybe 3 to 5 big comedians for that year. And I think lately it's even been less. Like right now, who's the big comedian? It's Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. is the one hanging right now, and then...
But who else? Like, Tosh was, like, a couple years ago or last year, he was the hot
Louis item. Kevin Hart, sort of, in the... I know, not for you.
That's in the scene, but I mean, no, but let's just say...
Oh, mainstream, like, mainstream, yeah. Right now, it's Louis C.K. Right now, everything is Louis C.K. He just won 3 Emmys, you know. He released his... well, he released one of his specials through his website, which was innovative because nobody did that for $5. Right now, he's trying to help out or push out Tig Nicotero's... is that...
I have no idea.
I think, you know, what's her name? Yeah, whatever her name is. She's dealing with cancer, breast cancer, and she, like, straight up went on stage. She just, like, talked about all that, you know, on stage right before, and, you know, it's on his website and stuff. So he does stuff like that, you know? It's, you know, I mean, he's the man right now. And it makes sense. And he's part Mexican, which has nothing to do with me, but I like saying that.
Well, yeah, and so that kind of completes my metaphor in that. Every year there's fucking, what, five to ten big bands that are the band of the year at least, yeah. Right? And then there's a million other bands kind of in a way. And comedy is a little bit more intimate of a circle in a way, you know, and it probably always has been. And Justin and I would pull up my fucking minivan to the back of Bar 11, you know, that's why I'm at Benji.
Bar 11.
Interviewing comedians, because for me, I always thought I wanted to do a radio show, I wanted to interview people. I don't know a ton of famous people, but I also know that there's a bunch of local comics. You know, my buddy Omar was starting to do it at the time.
Yeah.
I also know local... Yeah, shout out to Omar.
Shout out to Omar Moore.
And I also know, like, local comics want mic time.
Yeah.
They want people to hear them. You know, like, they're down. Like, you're basically asking a kid, hey, do you want this fucking lollipop? Yeah. You're feeding a kid candy, asking a comic, do you want to come on a podcast? They don't really care that your podcast is not...
It's a lot about that attention and then the potential to hear themselves, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I would do before. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah.
So to me, it just works on a couple levels. Like, A, it's like, you know, putting a hummingbird feeder with a crack out there, and the comics are going to come, and I'm fucking super into comedy, and I like comics, and I want to show people, like, hopefully, you know, this is pretentious of me to say, but I'd like to hope that we break somebody someday.
Yeah, well, in this scene nowadays, it might happen if it's not necessary that we do the breaking for them. Maybe we're along their path and they'll remember.
It wouldn't be us if they have the talent, really. But I mean, I'd like to help somebody on.
I kind of disagree on that because, you know, sometimes it's not just having the talent, it's opportunity. And some of us, it's like, if you don't learn that, we can make our own opportunity. Some of us think we just got to wait for it. You know, so with between them waiting for it and us being the dudes making stuff happen, that might be the right combination. But being in San Diego, talking about a lot of talent, yeah, it might happen. The odds are if we keep doing it long enough.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think San Diego is a totally underrated comedy town. Or I don't know if it's underrated. I don't know. How is it looked at in the scene?
It's getting better because, I mean, I actually don't travel a lot, but I communicate with a lot of comics and, you know, from outside the San Diego or people that come back and go. And, you know, the thing we get is that our scene is very different from Los Angeles, you know, like we're more, hospitable. We're more, you know, there's more brotherhood. You know, and maybe it's because the city's not so big and maybe because there's not a lot of people coming outwards or whatever. But, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the comics themselves. We all kind of, you know, even if it gets clicky.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is like, you know, the improv has franchises or they have other locations.
Yeah.
But there's only one, like, improv.
The improv.
Like, to do the improv. Yeah. So there's nowhere in San Diego that really has that cachet. We have great comedy clubs
the Comedy Store, which, like, I love the Comedy Store because of the history or whatever, but it's just, I kind of see what you're saying. They're trying to build it up to that, but, like, they recently haven't broke anybody big either. So, I mean, the logic is there. The Madhouse is doing a good job. They're bringing in new people. And then the American Comedy Company that just opened up, they invested a lot of cheddar, and it's a beautiful club. You know what I mean? But that's just three, you know, and for us being a tourist city, you know, having a lot of the border right there. I mean, we should probably have, in our dream as a comedian, three or more clubs. But, you know, and I'm not forgetting about the comedy.
Well, the funny thing is, in some ways, like, maybe not in reality, but in perception or just in the way that the tone comes across, like, LA is way more Mexican than San Diego.
Mm. There is a lot, a lot of
because San Diego is kind of a military town. It's got a bunch of white Republicans. Yeah. You know, it's got Coronado. Coronado alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Coronado alone is like throwing enough bleach into a fucking like colored laundry.
Everything's so nice over there.
Coronado is so white.
Yeah. The only part that isn't is when you go into the Hotel Del and you're working in the back, like I used to do sometimes. That's where all the color always goes. In the hotels, it's undeniable. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what you're good at, bro.
Yeah, yeah, we are. Booyah.
Come on. Fuck, I worked at like some ghetto-ass catering places, bro. I've been right there with you.
Nice.
I worked at this place called Fat Cat Catering. Probably shouldn't put them on blast, but whatever. And it was supposedly a catering company, and I was supposedly a fucking bartender, and I was supposed to be going to parties doing fucking bartending.
Okay.
Get this call for a job. Fuck, you want a job? Okay, here's the address. Okay, show up. And it's a morning thing, and I'm thinking already it's going to be like a semi-shitty job. I show up at this place off like Kurt Street or something, like behind the sports arena. And it's where United Airlines packs all their frozen food onto like the pallets to take to the planes. So I get there. It's like 8:30 in the morning, summertime. I just surfed. I had like Chuck T's on with no socks, and I get there and they're like, here's your fucking thermal suit or whatever. So I have an 8-hour shift inside a freezer.
Damn.
Inside like a fucking like warehouse freezer with like face masks and stuff and no socks.
Oh man.
And there's like an inch gap because the like thermal thing that they gave me is like an inch too short. Yeah, so there's an inch gap between my shoe and this like thermal suit. And not like the Chuck T's doing much to protect my, you know? So it was basically like an 8-hour day of snowboarding, like in Chuck Taylor's. Dude, I swear to God, I had frostbite. Huh? I don't know. The tips were kind of purple and shit.
Damn.
But I got to like run out like every once in a while. And it was, you know, $7.75 an hour or whatever minimum wage was.
Oh, well, that's not that bad. Well, $75 or $7.50. I don't know. It was a
decent. It might have been a quarter more than minimum wage. I was balling.
Hey, that's basically not bad. Yeah, dude, back in the day when gas was $2.50, and that was bad. When it was $1.89, I was complaining. Yeah.
The day I got my license, gas was $1.17. Oh. Okay, so Benji's on a call again, guys, so I'm just going to go ahead and Matt's over somewhere doing something. Matt is probably taking a poop. So, shoot. Should I jump back into the vice presidential debate? No, I shouldn't. You know what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about my new GoPro camera. I got a GoPro camera. And I'm pretty much freakishly in love with it. But B, we've had a stormy love affair. I bought this camera pretty much specifically to take a trip to Nicaragua with, so I could get some pictures of some barrels, or actually get pictures. To be all, in all honesty, I wanted to get a picture of myself in a good barrel, because I do have a big ego and I need to stroke it, because whatever.
Yeah, well, if you can, you should.
Well, so Benji's back. I thought his phone call was going to be long. But so long story short, I get this fucking GoPro, take it to Nicaragua. Apparently, I get the one in, you know, 750,000 that's a lemon GoPro that I bought, like, specifically for this trip. So now I'm in Nicaragua. My GoPro doesn't work. Pretty pumped on that. But chances are it could just be my stupid computer that breaks everything that it gets near.
Or it delays us in podcasts.
But, so now I got a new one, but they were supposed to send me a free, like, head strap mount or something, because, you know, I got a lemon and I was complaining, and they haven't sent that yet. And, wow, I was going to start with a positive thing about GoPro and how much I love the camera. Well, anyway, it's a 2.8 aperture, and it shoots 11 megapixel stills, and you can do 10 frames a second, and nobody probably cares about that information.
Was that the one that you took pictures at the show with us at the Frog, or which one was that?
No, that's a 5D. That's a Canon. That's
Well, those are really cool pictures, man. Yeah, that was like, it was like a regular place, and it looked like it was really nice.
Oh, so to take the pressure off my rambling, because I think we had a pretty good run going, tell us about the Frog real quick.
Oh, yeah, well, Salty Frog is one of the many shows we do there.
No. Just tell us about the Salty Frog first. Before we get into plugging us again.
I was telling you. That's what I was doing.
Describe the frog. Remember I saw that pimp?
Oh, okay.
Come on.
And well, the Salty Frog is in Imperial Beach. And
it's awesome.
It's
paint a picture for us. Come on, paint a picture.
A salty frog is, you know, a name for an old Navy sailor is what I learned, you know. So that's where the bar stems from. So everything is kind of like that. So people that walk into the bar most of the time happen to be either connected to the Navy or locals. The bar itself is got plenty of TVs and stuff. But a lot of the attraction to it is, you know, the staff and the people there, you know. The staff itself is, you know, they're used to the people because there's all sorts of beautiful people and fights all the time and great attitudes. And we have the best hecklers, man. And then the chicks are awesome. They like to drink a lot and a lot during karaoke. And they smoke too, but it's quite a crowd. We love them over there.
But don't worry about coming down. Nobody's gonna fight you if you.
That's the thing about it is, you know, my job is to invite people to come to the Frog, and I really wouldn't invite people over if it actually breaks some stigmas when people come in. And yeah, these people may look or be crude or have the what it looks like, but you have a good time. We all laugh together in the end. We end up drinking, trading stories or what have you, and then we become...
I would just say, as a general rule, if you want to fit in with the Frog, make sure that...
You're faded. No, I'm kidding.
No, make sure that your white socks, there's no gap between your Nike Cortezes and your Dickies shorts. You want your white sock to cover that gap, okay? You don't want to show calf. Showing calf is not OG.
It sends off signals.
Yeah, it sends off signals.
So unless you have some bad tats on that calf.
Yeah, if you have bad tats, it's cool. But in general, you want Nike Cortez. You can wear Sambas.
Yeah, I wear the Sambas, but not with the Cortezes. Not with the shorts like that, I mean.
But, you know.
Yeah, we get out. It's South San Diego.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, I love it.
We're there, you know. I mean, we're used to it. I guess it's our crowd, you know. We're there all the time, you know. We do trivia and comedy, but I also go in, you know, like other times when they have karaoke or they have you know, bands coming in, like local bands, and they usually book some real legit people on Friday and Saturday night. So, you know, that's SoCal Vibes last Friday, and they're like they're pretty big in San Diego, and they're pretty good, man. They rocked it out to like 1:30 or, you know, or 1 o'clock or something, I think. So, and there was also a fight. Never mind the fight.
But they walked down the street.
It wasn't SoCal fighting. But anyways, yeah, so that's what it is. 992 Palm Avenue, man. We're there all the time. Hopefully we can get to your bar and, you know, make some fun of stuff there with you.
Well, and fucking the hilarious Dallas McLaughlin came in.
Yes, he did a headline last week. And, yeah, we could go Monday.
He talked shit to every single person in that bar.
Yeah, he did.
Like, every single essay, every single drunken white sailor.
And this is like Dallas McLaughlin, that's his name. Yeah, he was a white boy, tall, and he had like that cabby cap and stuff.
Yeah, and he's balding.
And he's kind of like deadpan, so it wasn't like all attitude, brash. He was like, you know.
But he did it, and he did it for comedy's sake, and he was fucking hilarious. People bought him drinks. You know, everybody was cool. Nobody gave him shit.
It was why he is where he's at. He's a good comic, man. He handled a great crowd. Usually I can tell when people are good because of the crowd we have there, you know. And he did a marvelous job. It was one of the best times that, you know, I've seen it being handled.
I like Google now, you know. I fucking internet stalked him after that. I Googled him up. Yeah, you did. And, dude, he's done a bunch of shit for, like, Pixar and Disney.
Yeah.
Like,
He's a consultant for the Aquabat show, you know. I think he worked on Yo Gabba Gabba,
Yo Gabba Gabba.
You know, anybody who has kids and speaks English, you know, is a Yo Gabba Gabba fan, you know, at least if you have some substance, because it's a good show.
Anyway, so basically what we're saying is, in the future, if you keep listening, you might hear somebody from Yo Gabba Gabba on Flashes of Mediocrity.
Yeah, or that was some sort of... production person to it.
And when we have guests, there might be flashes of brilliance.
Yes, that's true. But right now, we can only flash you mediocrity and other stuff that you're not looking at. You can hear the meat, though. I'm kidding. It's not that.
No, one way you can look at it is that we're always brilliant, and that's why it's only flashes of mediocrity.
Yeah, we can bullshit ourselves like that. No, yeah. I agree. It sounds condescending and sounds like narcissistic to believe in yourself sometimes. But if we don't believe in ourselves, who the fuck will? So yeah,
mom.
Flash away, kids.
Yeah, flash away. But, well, no, I mean, I think we start off a little bit slow.
Yeah.
I think we hit a rhythm for a little bit there.
And we're going to get better.
We didn't get too political, which is kind of good,
I think next week we're going to handle it better or at least handle the political part because we'll be a little bit more on the dot. And all the technical will work and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it'll be fresh. And, I think we've been doing good with the transparency.
Yeah, it's been real.
Because every time, the podcast I like to listen to, just stuff fucks up. Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But, hopefully you like my nasally drone and Benji's, Spanglish.
And my accidental phone calls.
Silent Matt.
Silence is golden.
Silence is golden. See, he's not hanging himself like Ryan could have if Biden had allowed him to. You see how I called that one back, kids?
Yes. I thought you were talking about me.
No, never. Well, only positively. I wasn't even being
negative. I was hanging myself.
And then I wasn't even being negative about Ryan. I was just pointing out something that you pointed out. But
yeah.
Anyways, cool.
Cool,
man. So what? We're going to have these up as regularly as possible. I don't know. We're saying cool, are we?
Yeah, should we say cool?
You did say cool.
Oh, we could.
Just don't say cool.
Actually, guys, hey, welcome to Flash and Mediocrity. That was the ad.
All right, so that was our intro.
Yeah, that was the intro.
The intro to the show.
And that was brought to you by...
Stop Ramen Soup, keeping poor people mildly fed for at least 23 years. Well, I've been eating it for 23 years. I'm sure they've been around for longer.
I feel throwing some more plugs or something. No, nobody likes that.
Oh, well, what else? We'll plug away next time.
Should we plug away?
I don't know.
Let's plug Matt because he doesn't have
plug
anything
you,
to plug. Plug
you because you can always edit everything.
Yeah, that's true. I could.
Plug as much as you want because you can always stop it.
It's just a straight run.
You already signed off now.
Did we not? Well, we'll sign off.
No, we just started.
Oh, yeah, we really did just start.
Perfect.
Hey, I'm going to keep these goldfish. I threw in my briefcase.
But anyway, so look at Matt. Probably has about 1,000 people searching for him on Facebook. because Matt joined Facebook 2 weeks ago, or I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, a year
still
ago.
Still new.
Oh,
but also he's...
Don't get addicted, Matt.
Well, no, Matt's kind of gay.
Don't get addicted, Matt.
I don't mean that
It is National Out Day today.
Oh, yeah, it is. And by the way, shout out to my brother, Art.
Like, real gays are cool. Matt's gay in the way that, you used to call somebody gay, at elementary school, where, you mean that it's not cool. That's how I mean Matt's gay. Matt, you've been so silent, and nobody's going to listen this far anyway.
It means we never got him drunk enough.
Okay, here's two things you need to know about Matt.
Yeah.
He wore puka shells a couple years too long.
Whoa.
Puka shells.
They never... Hey, junior year... High school,
he wore
they were
poker
gone.
Shells a couple years.
I was 16.
I'm
I was 16.
Okay, I got so excited about the puka shell.
I'm pretty sure we have plenty of hours.
Hey, we all have our fucking.
Hey, we have a whole fucking show right now to talk about.
No. Here's the other thing though. When he got on Facebook, because he just felt like being a douchebag for some reason.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Instead of putting Matt Simpson or Matthew Simpson.
Oh, I got it.
He decided to, his mom is half Portuguese, full Portuguese,
she's
three
full
quarters
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Okay, his mom's full Portuguese. Suspectly. Maybe,
Well, no, they were both, her parents were both
100%.
Anyway, so that's all that matters.
I need to see some credentials.
Yeah, yeah.
You can.
Exactly.
We got a great friend in the tree you can see.
Nice.
Exactly. And Matthew's middle name is Santos. That's legit.
My mom's maiden last name, and every kid that doesn't have the Santos last name has it in their middle name.
Yeah,
so every
him
kid
and his brother have Santos, so I can vouch for that. But his name, as far as just living in America and his name all through high school and how everybody in the whole fucking world knew him, is Matt Simpson.
Oh.
But so when this guy gets on Facebook What does he create his account as?
Santos.
Mateo Santos.
But it's my nickname. Yeah, and he's always.
That's not your.
That's what most people call me. He's into that.
No, no.
At least 100 of my
people
friends.
People call you Mateo a lot, but nobody's ever called you Mateo Santos.
Oh, like, of course not. Of course not. That was for me to hide.
That was
a hiding. I used my nickname, basically look up what's your porn name. I used my porn name. That literal. I just meant whatever your porn name.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just had our first porn interview.
Yeah, show number one.
I would have way better porn name.
Damn, that was a flash. We're kidding.
Look at our audio is going off the charts.
That means
we're really into it. We basically poked the bear. I think is what happened. We poked the bear.
Poked the sleeping bear. What did you do?
Yeah, we did.
Poked the sleeping bear.
God damn it.
Since we poked the bear, Matt.
Wait. I need to give somebody a ride. Yes, I know. And we're poking the bear, but...
Okay, then we're stopping this because I want Benji to be responsible for putting it up.
Yes! Just mail it to me. He's going to mail it to me, all right, folks?
I can't mail you. This thing's going to be a huge file.
No. It's an audio file. All right. And then you WeTransfer.com. Oh,
that's
free,
right.
And, you know, you keep the file for 72
that
hours.
That was retarded of me.
No, it's okay.
Just tell it USPS.
But we mean it in a good way.
Yeah. Just like, I'm giving myself a pass on saying gay and retarded because I don't mean it like that. And
just grew up with it.
Wait ahead.
It doesn't mean what.
Yeah.
I got
grandfathered in.
When the kids say N-I-G-G-A, they don't mean that word. They mean cool person or something.
And just say what you like, but spell my name right.
Yeah. YOLO, kids.
Yeah, YOLO.
But it doesn't mean don't wear a condom.
We're going out on YOLO. Let's go out on YOLO.
YOLO.
YOLO.